We are exploring our confidence, or lack thereof, in government nationally and then here in Wisconsin. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. 3/4 of Americans say that their fellow citizens' trust in government is shrinking, and that has consequences. It has consequences on how we approach challenges in our country. There's a new report out about this from Pew Research Center, and the view isn't rosy when they asked Americans their feelings about political leaders, about the news media, and people living right in their own community. So how much do you trust the government? Do you trust local or state government more or less than the federal government? And what gives you that trust? What is eroding it? What do you think can be done to shore up negative feelings and skepticism? We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in. Lee Rainey is Director of Internet and Technology Research at the Pew Research Center. He recently co-authored this study on trust and distrust in government. Lee, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much, Kate. It's great to be with you.
So you examined the public trust. Let's look at the federal government here. What numbers popped out at you? What stood out?
The new thing that we did here, in addition to asking people about their own level of confidence in the federal government, we asked them to think about what other Americans think about it. And that was distressing. The majority of Americans think that others don't have confidence in the government and that it has been shrinking in the past generation. They also say that people's confidence in each other, in other words, Americans' confidence in their fellow citizens, has also been shrinking. 64% of Americans said that about their fellow citizens. And they believe that these problems with trust have real consequences. They think that low levels of trust make it harder to solve problems such as immigration and health care and climate-related issues. They also say that about each other, that when Americans don't trust each other, they don't talk to each other, they don't look at problems in the same way, and they don't solve them even at the local level.
Oh, so that has real implications. It snowballs, if you will, to so many other things in our society.
Yeah, trust is not just sort of a gauzy emotion. It has real world consequences for the way that people think about the institutions that are supposed to serve them and the way that they think about, literally, think about their neighbors. We just picked up this sort of widespread systemic distrust, lack of confidence that Americans have in their government and some other institutions and in each other. One of the striking things that we found in our data is that when we ask people why has confidence fallen, particularly in other people, about half said it's because Americans are less reliable than they used to be. So this is a devastating judgment about what's going on even in communities.
What does less reliable mean?
It means that they won't work for you. They can't be counted on to stand shoulder to shoulder with you and maybe tackle a community problem or even have a civil discussion. So there are ways in which this cascades through the simplest things, the things that happen in backyards and barbershops and things like that, as well as bigger stuff like solving big national and international problems.
You also asked about levels of trust in public institutions more broadly, whether people trusted scientists, whether they trusted journalists, police officers. How did people respond to those questions?
One of the fascinating things about trust research is that it's not just an on or off thing. It's not like people trust everything and everybody or they distrust everything and everybody. They have very nuanced judgments, and that showed up in this battery of questions we asked about core institutions. So a lot of Americans have high confidence in the military, in scientists, in police officers, and they have quite low confidence in elected officials, business leaders, and to some degree, journalists. One of the things that we have released since this study came out is that technology companies are particularly now suspect, and their impact on the culture is much less popular than it was just a couple of years ago.
And so 14% mentioned the Trump administration. What did you see there in terms of the political influence?
Well, there are lots of ways that people talk about this, and they start with political polarization. And for many Democrats in particular, President Trump sits at the center of the story. But when you ask Republicans, they say that Democrats, particularly Democratic leaders like President Obama and Hillary Clinton, sit at the center of the story. So in a way, it's kind of a symptom. When you ask people what's going on and why are things worse than they were, people sort of immediately move to their partisan positions about the other side being the root of the problem.
We're talking with Lee Rainey. He is Director of Internet and Technology Research at the Pew Research Center. Recently, he co-authored a study on Americans' trust and distrust in government. You can join in with your observations, 800-642-1234. Do you trust your fellow Americans? What is your perception of how they may view the government's ability to solve problems? Are you concerned about the perceived polarization in media? What about the partisan gridlock in Washington? Join in, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Looking at this, 84% of respondents said they thought we could turn the situation around. What did you find about gaining more trust in each other and in government?
I've got to say that was one of the more surprising findings. You know, we pollsters look at a lot of data, and there aren't many things that surprise us. But when we asked this question about, is there any possibility of turning the situation around, there was really widespread hope and a really broad wealth of ideas that Americans brought to sort of the solutions to this. So as you mentioned, 84% believe that the level of confidence Americans have in the federal government can be improved, and 86%, so even more, think that improvement is possible when it comes to the confidence Americans have in each other. When you ask them, sort of elaborate on that, what do you think? How might some solutions come forward? At the level of trust in institutions, especially government, they talked about muting political partisanship and tribalism. They did talk about news media coverage, which they now think is a central part of the story about distrust and dismay and divisiveness and things like that. They also blame technology. So the internet, social media in particular, people just say these are ways in which we retreat to our tribal truths, and we don't necessarily get information that would challenge our point of view, and we certainly don't get information that would give us a sort of positive view of the other side. So a lot of people talk about their yearning for stories about cooperation, you know, good news stories that institutions actually do work and solve some problems. And finally, when we asked about interpersonal trust, how can people sort of restore some faith in each other? A lot of them talked about literally just leaving your home and beginning to know your neighbors in a new way. There's a very strong sense that communities have deteriorated, and that trust and social capital in communities has deteriorated in the past generation. And there's a very strong sense that if people can start solving problems at the local level, they get to know their neighbors, they start working together to solve problems, that could build trust, and the trust, in a sense, could radiate upwards to the state level and national level, because people don't really have a lot of hope that things are going to get better at the national level anytime soon.
New study out of Pew says people in the U.S. are worried that distrust in the government and in others is taking a toll in our country. We're looking at what the data tells us with Lee Rainey. He is Director of Internet and Technology Research at the Pew Research Center. He co-authored this study on trust in government. Do you trust your fellow Americans? What is your perception of how they may view the government's ability to solve problems? Are you concerned about polarization in news media? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at a new study out of Pew that gauges how Americans feel about government. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So a takeaway here from the data is that distrust gets in the way of solving some urgent problems in our country. And the distrust stems from a polarizing political climate that is dividing neighbors, dividing family members. So how much faith do you have in government to solve problems? What are the biggest issues you see facing our nation? And what do you think can be done to address them? Join in, your perspective most welcome, 800-642-1234. The Pew Research Center's Lee Rainey co-authored this study on trust in government. He heads up Internet and Technology Research at Pew, and he stays with us. Let's go to the phones now with David joining us from Appleton. Hi, David.
Hi, I think your guest may have just addressed this, but I was theorizing how we trust both things closest to us. We trust our neighbors, but maybe not the people across town. We trust our local politicians, but not the state or federal. And I think it's just a familiarity issue. And I think when people actually contact someone who they may across town or a state or federal politician, I think the trust level increases once they can actually talk to someone in person. I think the same thing with trust of other races and religions and things like that.
Oh, you mean like seeing eye to eye really helps build
correct.
Trust?
Right. You know, have them over for a cookout and you're going to be like, oh, I trust this person now. You know, I feel familiar. I feel good about them. Right. But you don't trust what you don't know. I mean, it's the fear issue.
Lee Rainey, right. You don't trust what you don't know.
There's a long-standing social science literature on this very point. People trust the things that are closest to them and the things with which they are familiar. So they actually like their local congressperson, but they don't necessarily trust Congress. They like their doctor, but they don't necessarily have good feelings about the medical system. Same thing with teachers as opposed to their judgments about the broader educational system. And when we asked people to explain their answers in this survey, a lot of people made this point that we have essentially lost contact in many ways, even with things right in our vicinity, the people who live next door and the folks who might be active parts of our community, but we aren't active in the same parts of it. So it's a very common thought that one of the ways to restore trust now is to just give people a little bit more exposure to each other, and they'll see that other people aren't demons, and they're, even if they might have different views, they aren't necessarily the devil incarnate.
Well, let's go to Marcus now in Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. So I don't trust government. I don't really have faith in them. I have faith in my fellow man. And I think what this primarily goes back to is a political scientist named Robert Putnam, who wrote a book called Bowling Alone. I think it was the decrease in social capital in America. And basically, there's a number of studies in there, and they found that when people break bread together, the act of seeing each other eat the same food builds trust just from eating, even if no words are spoken. And so it's just really, again, it comes back to getting to know people, and people are scared of what they don't know. And fear is, unfortunately, fear is being weaponized way too frequently in this country, and we need to step away from that.
Marcus, in tandem with that, Lee Rainey, non-whites, poor and less educated people, and younger adults have lower levels of personal trust than other Americans. So how did you get to the bottom of that?
We asked some very classic questions about trust and people's approach to each other, although we tweaked some of the question language and didn't do it in exactly the traditional way. But we asked, generally speaking, would you say that most people can be trusted or most people can't be trusted? Absolute 50-50 split. Half said, yes, people can be trusted. Half said, people can't be trusted. We asked, do you think most people would try to take advantage of you if they got a chance, or would they try to be fair no matter what? And 58% chose the they would take advantage of you option. Finally, we asked, would you say that most of the time people try to help others or just look out for themselves, and 62% said look out for themselves. So we bucketed people's answers to those three questions and found that about a fifth of Americans, 22%, gave always trusting answers, and about a third, 35%, gave always distrusting answers, and about 41% fell in the middle. So there are ways in which different people have different approaches to life, and Marcus is making a really smart observation here that familiarity just helps soften people's hearts.
Talking with Lee Rainey, Director of Internet and Technology Research at the Pew Research Center, and looking at their new study on trust and distrust on Americans and in government. You can join in with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Lee, let's look a little more closely here on government withholding information. Some of the levels of low trust in public institutions stem from ideas that journalists aren't covering adequately, and then there's this withholding information. Can you tell us about how that came to light?
Sure. We were asking a lot about sort of information policies and practices of key institutions, because we find in our other research that people evaluate information and facts and non-facts through a whole bunch of filters, starting with their partisanship and their partisan loyalties. So we asked about the two main information providers in the country, and we found that 69% of adults say the federal government intentionally withholds important information from the public that it could safely release. When we asked about this question, I was thinking we'd get a lot of answers when we asked, what are they withholding? We might get a lot of conspiracy theories and alien kind of stuff. But it was really, in many cases, Democrats in particular saying that the current administration is not disclosing things that wouldn't necessarily make its policies look good. Or certainly there were lots of references to President Trump's taxes and things like that. But then we asked about the journalists, and 61% of adults said that the news media intentionally ignores stories that are important to the public. And it tended to be Republicans who said, we're getting one-sided coverage, or we're not getting good news stories about how well the economy is doing and things like that. So there's this very broad cultural sense that important information is not being disclosed to the public, and that's taking its toll on trust.
I wonder, with the Mueller report in full display, if that has any influence on this idea of insecurity about withholding information.
Yeah, it came up, in particularly in the open-ended answers, and people were, at the time we did this survey, it was still in process, so the report hadn't yet been released, but people were talking about the importance of releasing the findings and things like that. But of course, once the report was released, there were lots of sort of partisan judgments that affected the way people were thinking about the conclusions of the report, the totality of the report, and the aftermath of the report.
So how do you stack this particular report up over the long haul, longitudinally? How do you see it fitting into your other research?
Well, trust in facts and democracy are sort of central things that the Pew Research Center has studied forever. And we've intensified our research in these areas in recent years because we know that they are battlegrounds for public life. And what you get out of this research is a very strong public feeling that things are deteriorating, both at the level of trust in institutions and trust in each other, that they think it gets in the way of problem solving, and that they are not necessarily confident that their fellow citizens can dig their way out of this hole. They've got a lot of ideas about it, but they are not necessarily sure that those ideas will be implemented.
So how often do you take the pulse on trust? Like, how often could it actually even move on a needle as you look at data?
Our strategy, there are ways in which you can sort of watch it over time, and I think you're right. People's views don't change overnight in many cases. This is a long-running story. What we've been trying to do is unpack the different dimensions of it. So tomorrow morning, we're going to release a report about trust in scientists and how Americans think about the scientific perspective process and think about the motives of scientists who go after information about major stories. In a couple of weeks, we're going to release a report about trust in religion and religious institutions. And of course, there's been a tremendous amount of ferment across the board in religious institutions that are where people are in distress about what's happening in their churches and in the broader culture. So we are looking more deeply at particular dimensions of this. This particular report that I was part of tried to break new ground in sort of assessing people's views about what kind of problems lack of trust causes for the society.
Yeah, it sounds like trust has a lot of chapters to explore in our society.
Well, the opening line of this report is that it's an elixir. When you have trust, it's an elixir for societies and for neighborly relations. So this is big stuff, and it affects the way that problems are seen, much less the way problems are addressed, and it affects the way people get along with each other.
Lee, thank you so much for joining us.
Kate, it's been my pleasure.
Lee Rainey is the Director of Internet and Technology Research at the Pew Research Center. You can find a link, by the way, to that report from Pew over on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. Coming up, we zoom in on what trust in government looks like here in Wisconsin, and then what that might mean to how our state government functions and accomplishes things. Stay with us. That conversation coming up after this news update here on the Ideas Network. We're continuing our conversation about trust in government with a focus now on Wisconsin and what we see around our communities. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Some Wisconsin political scientists fear that residents don't feel like they have the power to influence government, and that special interests and party affiliation win the day, and that increasing polarization could make the legislature less responsive to citizens as policy moves away from the center. So how much do you trust state government? Do you trust your city or town government more or less than what happens down in Madison in the halls of the Capitol? Join in with your perspective, your take. What connection you see to trust and distrust? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Lily Gorin now. She's a political science professor at Carroll University, where she chairs the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies. Lily, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me on this morning.
So we've been having this really interesting discussion about trust and distrust, looking at the Pew research. And now we know the Marquette University Law School poll has also asked Wisconsinites about trust. They did it in 2017. Only 3% said they trust the government in Washington to do what's right all of the time. 19% said they trust the federal government to do the right thing most of the time. So what do you make of how we see it here in Wisconsin?
Well, Wisconsin and the upper Midwest, Wisconsin and Minnesota in particular, have this long tradition of what we refer to in political science as good government inclinations, in part because of the sort of folks who were here initially settling this area where they'd come from and the kind of confidence they'd had in community government. And so there is this tradition in this part of the country with regard to trusting government. But more so trusting the state and local government in particular, because it was mostly corruption free also. And there's obviously a long history, not just in the United States, but elsewhere, with regard to having some distrust of the, sort of representatives or rulers who are far away and don't necessarily, you know, sort of know you and you don't know them quite as well.
Oh, far away means perhaps more out of touch.
Right. And also you don't see them as frequently. You had this conversation in the last half hour about the idea of actually seeing eye to eye a person you know, at a community barbecue or at your house, you're breaking bread with them. And if you have representatives who are in Washington, D.C., they are, you know, technically further away from you, even if they come home on the weekends and campaign or go to town hall meetings, that they're still disconnected. And in the structure of our government, the presidency itself is much more disconnected from the people than our House members and even our senators. So we have structural differences where the folks that we vote for in Washington, that we send to Washington, have to go to Washington to actually do the work there. So it's harder to see them as much. And some of them we see very rarely because the president is president of the entire country as well.
Let's bring in Joel now, joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Joel. What are your thoughts here?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Much of my comment was, I guess, just iterated by the guest speaker in that I just feel like it's such a remote connection, if there's any connection at all. So I work a blue-collar job about 55 hours a week, you know, pay my taxes and everything. And I just feel like if the decisions of the federal government and of Congress do align with what I actually want in my nation, it's just luck. I feel like I have zero influence, zero effectiveness on helping the nation in terms of voicing my opinion on anything that has to deal with legislation or budget. And I feel so small compared to what the federal government's actually doing. So my thought is that the ideal would be just more local power, but how do you do that? How does that happen, you know?
Oh, Joel, thank you so much for bringing that. Lily Gorin, feeling so small.
Yeah, I mean, and again, we're a country of 330 million people. It's a big country, and it's also a large land mass. And so, you know, the federal government deals with issues like the federal budget, obviously, like issues around military and security and terrorism, and that at the local level or at the state level, there are different policy areas that are the focus of the state, like education, roads, and so forth. And then at the most local level, you have, you know, community safety and community issues. In Waukesha, we have a sort of perpetual issue around water, which is kind of indigenous to Waukesha and not necessarily to Milwaukee, just by, you know, sort of where you are in terms of local issues. And that's, again, what the policy focus is in different parts of the country. And so Joel's comment is, you know, with regard to the budget, the federal budget, one does often feel disconnected from it because it's so large and it applies to the entire country.
Talking with Lily Gorin, she is a political science professor at Carroll University. Your thoughts on this, 800-642-1234. How much do you trust the government? Do you trust your local or state government more or less than the federal government? And what contributes to that? What gives you that trust or lack of trust? Join in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Dave now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind about this?
Well, I think that trust has been restored to some extent with the Wisconsin state government, with Tony Evers. But I do still think that until our government is made up, if not entirely, but primarily of people of color or women or people who identify as women, just anybody except white or white-looking.
So we need
males
to diversify our representation in order to build trust. Is that where you're going?
Yes, we need 100% non-Caucasoid people who are say that they're men or whatever.
Lily Gorin, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I think this is also where you have this question of what people perceive in terms of elected officials. If you see elected officials and they do not look at all like you and you do not necessarily know them, again, this sort of distance from the people who are elected to govern you, then it does feel like, you know, can you trust them? Do you know them? Are they, do they understand your situation and the policies you're advocating for, or are they more dismissive of them because that's not where their focus is? And I think this goes to, you know, sort of this question of having representatives who actually represent us, and as a result, we often think about them looking more like America and the folks and all of the people in the country. But, you know, this is, again, not indigenous also to the United States, where you sort of look around at most democracies and the elected representatives do not necessarily mirror the demographics, race, ethnicity, sexuality, and so forth of the population as a whole. And that's changing. You know, watching the debates last night, you saw a number of women and a number of people of color in the debates for the presidency, which, again, 10 years ago would not have been the same dynamic.
Well, let me ask you this. In the Pew Research Center's survey, 10% of Americans laid some of the blame for mistrust in government with the media. How do you think Wisconsin's journalistic environment factors into that?
Well, Wisconsin has, you know, sort of different media markets. And so you have newspapers in Milwaukee, in Madison, Waukesha, and then you also have different television media markets, as well as obviously the radio.
And I
think that you have sort of localized and to a degree statewide media, but then you also have obviously national media, which is where a lot of people get a lot of their information. And part of what the Pew research also indicated is that people perceive that the sort of acclimation or accumulation of media from things like social media, from Facebook and so forth, is actually part of the problem. And so we have these global mechanisms for getting information that are also potentially contributing to the lack of trust. And so you potentially have various sort of media streams that are fighting with each other as you're sort of taking in that information. And that's also, according to the analysis, where we're seeing some of this distrust coming from.
Well, let's go to Mike in St. Lawrence. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to kind of agree with what your guest just said. I don't trust my politicians, especially from Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, Ron Johnson, or even Sensenbrenner. But I do trust the people that work for government. I do trust the people that work for the FBI, that work in the national parks, that take care of the roads, the tax people. Those are just hardworking, everyday American people like I am, and I trust them. But I don't trust the politicians who try to tell them what to do, because they're always contradicting themselves, and they're not taking care of business. They're too busy running around trying to raise money for the next election, just like what's going on right now with this whole impeachment thing. It's not about impeachment. It's about running for office in 2020.
Now we're going to pause right there, looking at how trust in government translates to the local level where we live around Wisconsin and statewide as a whole. Lily Gorin here for analysis. She's a political scientist at Carroll University. With a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature, do you have trust that a divided government can get the job done here in Wisconsin? How would you gauge your trust in state government? What are the biggest issues you see facing our state, and how do you address them? Join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We know polarization happens at the national level. We're looking at the state level and what a divided government and people not seeing eye to eye, what that means for Wisconsin to solve problems and for trust level in government. Carroll University political science professor Lily Gorin stays with us through the hour. Let's go back to the phones now with Alan joining us from Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Alan.
Good morning. I'm calling this morning. Been listening to the conversation here. And I thought that there was a part of the question was regarding, you know, our national officials, because we don't see them much. I was a Columbia County judge I'm still a reserve judge, so it's been 12 years now, but I'm retired. And I think people are getting less trust in their politicians for one reason. I think it's mainly they're there to stay there. You know, they used to be where politician didn't make a career, or a person didn't make a career out of politics. And I think that leads to mistrust when a person's going to make a decision to make sure, you know, when I was a judge, if I made a decision and thought mostly, how is this going to affect me when I come up for election again, I'd have been the worst judge possible. And I think that's what we've got in a lot of our, not only state level, but certainly at the national level, because they're always looking at how it's going to affect them. And I think it draws down to a great deal the trust and the competence. The other thing is the cost of running for election in different places. You know, you wonder, these problems are out there. For example, we have a OW drinking problem, drinking and driving in Wisconsin. When I, 5 years before I retired, we got an OWI court going in Wisconsin, in Columbia County, and it was very helpful. And those OWI treatment courts last about a year and a half, where a person is in them, and they actually produce results, yet we don't have enough of that going on to try and treat people instead of just throwing money other places, because it's not a big popular thing to do. So I think that the lack of trust is basically there are problems that the person, this white-collar gentleman, the blue-collar gentleman that was talking earlier, he hit it right on the nose as far as I was concerned. It just is, if something gets done that's right, it's almost by accident.
Alan, thank you. Lily Gorin, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we do have these issues around the idea of career politicians, which has actually been going on for quite some time now, that people run for office, are elected, and then stay in office of one kind or another for an extended period of time. And that gets tied in with this question of the money in politics, because you have to raise so much money to run for office, that the question of, are you representing the people who vote for you, or are you representing or paying attention to the folks who give you very large checks? And that has, according to the Pew study, also is one of the issues that many citizens see as, you know, sort of undermining their trust in government, in elected officials, because they're not sure who they're actually representing. And so the issue of money, particularly large, big money in politics, sort of erodes a lot of that trust.
Let's bring in Brad now in Sockville with views on this. Brad, hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What are your thoughts here?
Honestly, I agree with the last caller regarding a career in politics. My thing is, I don't think politicians should be a lucrative in and of itself position. You know, like a weatherman, you know, if whether or not you get it wrong, you get it right, or you do nothing at all, you still get paid. I don't agree with that in politicians anyways. You know, you leave Congress session with absolutely getting nothing done, they still get paid, you know, as well as six figures for it. Being a politician should not be a lucrative position. It should be more of a job that attracts the people who do really want to help, as opposed to it attracts some people who may want to help and then some people who just want to get a really great paycheck to do nothing.
Brad, thanks for those thoughts. Lily Gorin, sounds like Brad's saying job performance should be tied to pay, like it is in so many sectors.
And to a degree, it kind of is. If your constituents don't think you're doing a good job, then they tend not to reelect you. But we do have a very high incumbency rate. So how you sort of get judged on your performance, sort of denying the paycheck would be an amendment to the Constitution. But the argument that the caller made is also one that was actually discussed at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 when there was debates over particularly whether the president should be paid or not, or if it should be a volunteer job because one wants to serve the country and that is the calling itself. And that argument, which I believe was made by Benjamin Franklin, was not the one that carried the day. And most politicians do get, you know, their paychecks, but if you leave office, that's when you usually make more money, as a lobbyist or in other capacities after you're no longer in office.
Well, let's take another call now. We have Anne joining us from Campbellsport. Hi, Anne.
Hi. My trust in our state government has greatly diminished under the Republican administration because they promote and defend gerrymandering. So, in fact, my district doesn't run an opposing party because they know they won't win. So I don't trust or feel that I'm being representative. Also, the legislative corruption with Robin Voss and Dewey Strobel passing laws that benefit their own personal businesses, rental properties. I'm just kind of disgusted with this administration, and no, I don't trust it.
And let's start, Lily Gorin, with political districts and gerrymandering. Can that erode trust?
Yeah, this goes, you know, to the heart of democracy, too. If you are in a district or in some capacity where you feel like you are completely unrepresented because nobody will listen to you because you are on the other side of the aisle by the design of the district and so forth, then why would you trust the government? Because nobody is paying attention to you. That was one of the other callers who basically said he feels like that he doesn't have his voice listened to or heard. The same with this last caller in terms of, you know, what is the government doing if they're not listening to me? If I have no capacity to sort of have a representative hear me, even if they disagree with me, and that I have no way to challenge them because there's no way that somebody else could win in that district, that becomes very problematic. Not only with regard to trust, but also with the idea of democracy in general.
Joanna in Menominee, hi.
Good morning. I have very little trust for the individuals who are in the majority in our Wisconsin Assembly, in our Wisconsin Senate. They are really not concerned with serving the citizens of the state. They're really only concerned, obviously, with just remaining in office and serving the very wealthy Republican political donors.
But Joanna, can I stop you and ask, what would change your trust? What would improve your trust and make you?
My trust would be improved greatly if these Republicans, such as Scott Fitzgerald and Robin Voss, would agree to have nonpartisan district lines drawn and bring in the Democrats in a way such that they knew that these would be nonpartisan parties drawing these lines, if that's possible. And because at this point, it's impossible for a Democrat to win in so many portions of the state.
Joanna, thank you. Lily Gorin, final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of heard this a bit now with regard to people, individual citizens feeling unrepresented because they are in districts that are drawn in such a way that there is no way that the other side will listen to them. And that, you know, goes in very deeply to this question of trust in government. If you can't get your voice heard in a democracy and then you basically feel like, well, there is no way I could trust what other people are doing because they're also not listening to me. Even if they're not doing what I want them to, they're not even listening to me.
Lily, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Lily Gorin is a professor of political science at Carroll University. And our colleagues, by the way, over at WisConText have a new piece on calculating the growing political divide between Democratic and Republican legislators. We have a link to it on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. Coming up, we talk with Wisconsin's poet laureate. Stay with us. You're on the Ideas Network.